Welcome. We're glad you've joined us for this Hand in Hand podcast. Hand in Hand is a nonprofit organization, and we provide information, classes, training, and lots of support for parents like you. We call our approach Parenting by Connection, and it's based on the insight that you deserve good support as you parent, and every child needs lots of connection in order to thrive. We offer tools to help you foster support for yourself and connection in your family. We hope this podcast gives you exactly the kind of support you're looking for.
So welcome, everyone. Welcome to today's teleseminar on special time. My name is Stephanie Parker, and my co-presenter's name is Rachel Schofield, and we are both certified hand-in-hand parenting instructors. So we really know that your time is precious, and thank you for taking time out of your busy lives to think about parenting and for doing all the juggling you may have had to do to be able to join us for this teleseminar, either live or if you're listening later to this recording. So we really hope you get some fresh ideas that you can take away from this teleseminar on helping children share to try out with your, on the special time to try out with your children. There are several parents registered for this call, and so first I'd like to talk a little bit about Hand in Hand to allow people who are joining the call a little bit late to settle in. So Hand in Hand is a non-profit organization based in California with instructors all over the world, including myself and my co-presenter, Rachel. Patty Whitfler founded Hand in Hand in 1989 after many thousands of hours of real-life experience working with parents and children. Hand in Hand has a wide variety of ways to support parents really well. There are many free articles on the website, the core booklets that talk about this approach in detail, podcasts of teleseminars like this one available for sale on the website, and one-to-one support through consultations, self-guided classes from the Parent Rescue Series, instructor-led in-person classes, instructor-led online classes, and also classes for professionals such as therapists and nurses. There's also an online Yahoo discussion group that supports parents around the world every day, and a very inspiring blog with parent success stories based on this approach. And there's new blog posts happening all the time. So you can find out of all of these resources on the Hand in Hand website, which is www.handinhandparenting.org. So the Parenting by Connection is the approach developed by Patty at Hand in Hand Parenting. And this approach puts your relationship with your child at its center and aims to support parents and provide them with the insights and skills they need to listen to and connect with their children in a way that allows each child to thrive. So in a nutshell, here's what Parenting by Connection is about. Firstly, children thrive when they have a warm, physical and emotional bond with their parents. They can then be cooperative, kind, know how to share, to play, love and think well. And secondly, parents want to be close to their children, love them fully and see them thrive. However, feeling disconnected and stressed can cause both children's and parents' behaviors to flare and can cause connection to break down. So listening parent to parent and parent to child is the key strategy for building connection. It conveys deep respect and creates enough safety over time to dissolve the emotional tensions that disrupt caring relationships. When parents listen well and set limits well, children instinctively offload their negative feelings and regain their sense of connection and good judgment. And a good listener can help parents feel less isolated and less stressed. With genuine support for the hard work of parenting, parents can strengthen their connection with their children and repair it when stress has interfered. So this approach to parenting has an even bigger impact than merely the relationship between a parent and a child. because when parents connect with one another to build support system that helps them solve problems and engage in their communities, they inspire those around them by being agents of change. Supporting connected parenting is a powerful way to reduce all kinds of hurt and harm in the lives of individuals, families, and communities. So we encourage you to reach out for the support you may need for your own parenting so that you and your child can really thrive on the deep love that you have for each other. So we're just going to start off by briefly introducing ourselves. So, as I said, my name is Stephanie, and I live in Stroud, which is in Gloucestershire in the UK. I have one daughter, and she just turned 7. She had her birthday party yesterday. And we live together with her dad, my partner, who's called Jim. And I actually feel very blessed because I found out about hand-in-hand parenting when my daughter was basically just born. A friend of mine told me about them. So I've been using these tools ever since the beginning, really. And to be honest, I'm not quite sure how I would have navigated parenting without them, because I've faced many challenges since becoming a mum, and the tools have just been so brilliant in helping me turn those challenges around. And I just feel very grateful to Patty for creating hand-in-hand parenting. So I took a year-long training in 2002-2013 to become a Parenting by Connection instructor, and now I'm enjoying sharing these tools with parents locally and globally as well online. So now I'd like to ask Rachel to introduce herself.
Thank you, Steph, and a warm welcome to everyone on the call. We're very glad you're here. So my name's Rachel, and I live on the far south coast of New South Wales in Australia with my partner and our two boys, Alfie, who is 9 years old, and Arlo, who is 4 years old. And I'm here because when my oldest was about a year old, I was just exhausted and really struggling in my parenting. Like, my baby was waking several times in the night, and I didn't really have a clue how to set limits, and I was feeling very lost, and I ended up, by sort of chance, taking this Parenting by Connection study group, and that just changed everything. It really felt like it was the gold I've been searching for, because the ideas and the tools just transformed my relationship with my son, and they continue to help me over and over again. They help me build and rebuild connection in my family. And I've been sharing these ideas with other parents since 2009, and I've witnessed again and again how this approach helps other families tackle their parenting challenges and in ways that bring closeness between everyone in a family. So today we're introducing ECA Special Time, which is a proactive listening tool, one of the proactive tools that we talk about at Hand-in-Hand Parenting. And you can use it to build, it's really just like the foundation of being able to build a strong connection with your child. And what we're going to do is we're going to show you why special time is such a powerful tool for building connection. And we'll talk about how it can repair disconnection, how it can help with challenging behaviors like maybe sleep struggles or separation difficulties or aggression or sibling rivalry, and just really any challenges you're facing. Special time can be such a useful tool. And we'll take you step by step through how to do special time and talk through some of the common questions that the parents asked about it. So in a nutshell, special time is a powerful way to make sure that your child feels loved. And a stunning 80% of adults feel like their parents didn't really love them as a kid. Now, of course, we all love our children beyond words. But sometimes that love just gets buried under feelings of overwhelm, exhaustion, loneliness, and worry. Yet deep down, we all of us want nothing more than for our child to feel cherished and good no matter what their struggles are in life. So it's not lack of love that stops our children feeling appreciated. It's that we parents have to work hard with little support, and that creates many barriers that just can stop our love landing in our children's hearts. At the Attachment Theory-based Circle of Security project, which is run by respected therapists, they see delight as being like the critical quality that parents need to have. Like, more than anything, our children need us to feel joy when we are with them. When they notice that we are delighting in them, it makes them feel deeply appreciated and just accepted as for who they are. But as parents, our lives are full, and it can be really hard to find pleasure raising children given all the pressures that we have in our lives. So, you know, on top of the vitally important work we are doing caring for our kids, we also have to juggle earning a living, putting meals on the table, washing clothes, and, you know, so on. And it can be really tricky to remember to just stop and simply delight in our kids. So special time is a practice that you can adopt that helps you shine your love in a way that makes it land right in your child's heart. It's unbelievably powerful. Busy parents can fit it into their lives. And if you do this regularly, you'll see big shifts in your relationship with your child. They'll become more cooperative, more affectionate, and more relaxed. And you'll likely feel much closer to them and more aware of their inner world and simply more delighted by who they are. So I'm going to hand over to Steph, and she's going to tell you all about how to do special time.
Great. Thanks, Rachel. Thanks for that. So here's what you do when you're going to give your child special time. So firstly, it's really great to let your child know ahead of time when you're going to be having special time, like after lunch or on Saturday. And this gives them a chance to figure out how they're going to use your attention. Or sometimes, like in our family, I only have one child, so special times become part of our daily routine. So we always know we do it when we get up in the morning or after breakfast. So my daughter's got time to think about, you know, when she wakes up, what do I want to do for special time? And because I only have one child, this is easier. But if you have more than one child, it will take a bit more planning and juggling. And we'll talk a bit more about that later. So you let your child know that in special time, you're going to do whatever they want. So you're handing the reins of the relationship over to your child. So much of their day is spent doing what other people want them to do. So reversing the roles brings relief to a child and opens up possibilities for them to show you things they don't normally have space to reveal. So you decide how long it's going to be. Like after lunch, we're going to have 20 minutes of special time or 15 minutes. And you set a timer. And this bit might seem a bit odd at first, but it's interesting to notice how much better it goes with a timer. Part of the power of special time comes from your child being in charge. And if you say it's over, you're keeping some of the power around the time. But if the timer goes off, it keeps the child in the upper hand and you keep playing until the timer goes off. And you also don't have to keep checking your watch or the clock to see what time it is. So it's really time to do whatever your child wants to do, and that's really anything. The only exceptions being that it's important to gently set limits if they want to do something that would hurt someone or something. And really try and be enthusiastic about what they choose to do, even if it makes you groan inside. Don't get distracted. It's often tempting to multitask when we're playing with our children by checking our phones, tidying up, or even like thinking in our heads like what we're going to cook for dinner that night. And special time is a real time when we don't do anything else apart from shine love and attention on our child. So we shine all our love and our warmth onto our child, and we delight in them no matter what they show us. And this is the magic ingredient. Shining your utmost love at your child whilst they lead the play makes the child feel fully accepted and appreciated for who they are. So when you approach special time with an air of interest and expectation, they'll show you new things with the safety of knowing that you'll be pleased with them no matter what. It's great to follow the laughter. If anything makes your child laugh, keep doing it. Laughter is a real powerful tonic, and it helps shed light, fears, and embarrassment, and makes us feel really close. It's the shortest distance between two friends. You get to slipstream in all of these good feelings. You become hardwired into their brain alongside the feelings of laughter and the love you're offering up. So I'm going to now share an anecdote of a time when I used special time to heal a feeling of disconnection in our family. And it was actually Christmas just gone. And on Christmas Day, we were going to my partner's sister's house for lunch, to have lunch with all his family. And I really love having a walk on Christmas Day, so we decided we were going to go for a walk before we got to their house. And my daughter was all very enthusiastic about the walk until it started. And then about 5 minutes into the walk, she started to complain very loudly that she didn't want to walk. So we tried being playful with her, and, you know, we tried everything, and nothing really worked. The walk, she kind of complained the whole time, and it was pretty frustrating for all of us by the end of it. Anyway, we went to lunch and had a great day. And then on Boxing Day, we spent most of the day at home, just kind of playing and doing stuff at home. And then in the evening, I really wanted to have another little walk out into town to see the Christmas lights. So it was a very short walk. But again, my daughter was just really didn't want to walk, complained the whole time. And it wasn't very enjoyable. So that evening, my partner and I discussed, after she went to bed, we talked about it. And we said, well, tomorrow, why don't we give her special time together? Now, we don't normally do this. Special time is normally one and one. But I felt it was really important, you know, because in the holidays we're kind of coming together as a three to kind of do something that would really connect the three of us together. So we decided that before we did anything, we were going to give her 30 minutes of special time, both of us giving her 30 minutes of special time. So when she got up in the morning, we announced that we were going to give her this 30 minutes of special time. And she actually resisted it at first, which kind of shows that she was feeling disconnected because she normally is very excited about having special time. Anyway, she agreed and she asked for a puppet show, which is one of her favorite things, with her soft toys. So that's what we did. For 30 minutes, we gave her this puppet show and we poured our love into her through that puppet show. And by the end of the 30 minutes, it's like a miracle. I think special time is like a miracle. We were all feeling much more connected and close. And then I started to remember, you know, my partner had actually been away, working away for 8 days right before Christmas, and he'd only got back like a couple of days before Christmas. And my daughter had really, really missed him, much more than she normally does. And maybe that's because it was, you know, coming up to Christmas and she really wanted her dad there. So I think that separation could have left some feelings of disconnection for her. So the special time actually helped me think more clearly as well, what could have been going on for my daughter. Anyway, after that special time that day, we went for another walk, and we walked along the canal from Stroud for 2.5 hours, and my daughter did not complain once. She skipped, she talked, she chatted, you know, she was just very, very happy walking for all that time, and we had a really lovely day together. We just felt so much more connected as a three, and it was like, oh, the relief. So it just, every time something like this happens, it just reminds me of how powerful and magic special time can be. So I'm going to hand you back to Rachel, and I think she's going to share some more about special time.
Yeah, thank you, Steph. That's just such a gorgeous story. For me, that shows so clearly how powerful special time is. And I particularly like how you kind of got this insight yourself into what was going on from doing it.
Thank you.
So if you try out special time in your family, there are some things that might come up for you. And one of them is that it actually can feel quite hard to do. Like, on the face of it, special time is such a simple thing. You don't even have to think about what you're going to do because your child works that out. But it can be surprisingly hard for us to actually do special time. And it's not our fault. Like, the lack of support we have as parents means that it can be difficult to find the energy to give your child one-on-one attention. And it's also really unlikely that you were given that kind of attention when you were a child. So it's really common to find yourself either putting off doing it or whilst you're doing it to find yourself getting quite distracted, like maybe just quickly tidying something up or sneaking a quick look at your phone or daydreaming about something else. And so if that's you and you're finding it hard or you're getting sidetracked really easily, it's a sign that you need some support. And at Hand in Hand, we really encourage people to find someone to listen to you whilst you explore like what your resistance is, what is it that's making it hard for you to do the special time. It can be really helpful just to have someone listen to you. And if you've got a teenager or a preteen, you're going to have to be a little bit clever introducing the idea of special time. It's likely to go down like a lead balloon if you say to your teenager, hey, let's have special time. They'll kind of look at you like, yeah, right. So you're going to have to be crafty. You can still do it with teenagers, but you probably don't want to call it special time, and you're just going to be a bit more crafty about introducing it. So I had a mum on one of my starter classes who, this is how she did it. So she kind of went up to her 12-year-old and she whispered to him, like, hey, I reckon you and me could sneak off for an hour after when I finish work and we could have some time together and I'll do whatever you want, what you reckon. I don't reckon anyone would notice. And, like, her son just loved this let's be naughty sort of tone that she had. It totally appealed to him. And so they kind of plotted together how they were going to go off for a quick surf at the beach. It's very common for a child to bring up past difficulties. So if you start doing regular special time, your child's going to feel really safe with you and they're going to use that safety to bring up issues that haven't been fully processed. They might be things that you thought were over and done with. So, for example, a child might get clingier with you, and this is actually a sign of progress. It might not feel like it, but it's progress. It's showing you that your child is trusting you to be there for them and that they want to work through those difficulties. They want to work through that issue. And so a child's going to show you some old hurts, and it's like the safety that you're creating is enough so that they can show you some of that upset. So it's not uncommon at all for a child to get upset about something small, either during special time or right at the end of special time or soon after, like a little bit of time after. They'll often choose something like really little, like they don't like the color of something or just a really minor thing to have really quite a big upset about. And what they're doing is using like all that, all the safety of that connection that you've poured into them to just bring up some old hurts that are buried inside. And so they might then cry about something, and the crying will just seem totally out of proportion to the thing that they're sort of upset about. And all you have to do is stay with them, just let their tears pass or let their tantrum pass, and just be with them. And at the end, you'll notice that they'll likely be a lot lighter and more affectionate. They've just, like, cleared out a whole load of hurt. And when we do special time, sometimes children use special time to do things they love. So it might be playing Barbie dolls or riding bikes or reading books together. And other times, children will actually push us to do things that we're not comfortable with, that are actually okay to do. So really what they do is they get to show you all the things they would love to do but can't normally do and have you delight in them whilst they do it. And one of my most memorable special times is when I was 7 months pregnant and my 4-year-old decided to squirt water from the garden hose at me for 10 minutes. We had 10 minutes of special time and he just stood there squirting the hose at me and he laughed and laughed and laughed and I was like laughing and squealing and wishing it wasn't happening but kind of enjoying it. it was really, really bonding for both of us. And other times children will use the power of your attention to actually try and tackle something that they're trying to learn or something that they find difficult to do. So, you know, it could be like doing some sort of fancy trick or the trampoline, or maybe they're trying to write their name and they'll just use your attention to do the thing that they find is tricky. And special time is incredibly helpful in helping solve whatever problems you're facing as a parent, like with your children. It's often like a key ingredient in changing a tricky situation. And so I'd just like to share with you a little story about how I use special time to tackle a problem that we were facing. So some years ago, my eldest son needed to see a speech pathologist because he was having real difficulty in his pronunciation and he was about to go to school, and we thought it was really important that he could speak more clearly. And so after the first session, we were sent home with some exercises to do every day. And I just got home and thought, I have absolutely no idea how I am going to get my child to do these exercises. And I tried everything. I tried making them fun, but he, you know, that just wasn't working. He would just kind of put his fingers in his ears and make silly noises. I tried getting his teddies to do it, and that maybe got him to do a few laughs, but he still wouldn't do the exercises. I tried getting serious and kind of saying, okay, well, we've got to do this, and, you know, we have to do our science practice, but he would just throw bits of paper away, say silly words, like I couldn't make him practice. And I was beginning to lose my patience. I was beginning to think this is just such a waste of time. And the first time, I think I'd been using hand-in-hand parenting ideas for about 4 years at this point, and for the first time in those 4 years, I was thinking, okay, I'm just going to have to use that reward system that the speech pathologist was talking about. Like, this is, you know, I'm just going to have to do it. Like, the therapy is a waste of time if we don't practice. So I'm just going to have to let go of the idea of using connection-based parenting in this moment and just do a reward system. And then I just had this flash of inspiration, and I turned around to my son and I said, okay, we're going to have a special time sandwich. After breakfast, we're going to have 10 minutes of special time, and then we'll do our sounds practice, and then we'll have another 10 minutes of special time. And he kind of looked at me pretty interested. And to my utter amazement, after the first 10 minutes of special time and we got to the sounds practice, he was fully engaged, like he had not been at all engaged at any time I tried it up to this point, but he was fully engaged and he was trying really hard to do the exercises. I could hardly believe it. And we tried the special time sandwich the next day and the same thing happened. And he was even coming up with ideas like, oh, maybe I could, you know, hide the cards around the room and that I'll find them and say the word. And the next day again it worked and he brought his teddy and he made his teddy do the sounds practice. And his teddy got everything wrong, and after several days, I actually started him hearing him like practice the sounds by himself during the day, and he would start to ask me questions like, you know, is it skittle or spittle? And after about a week, he actually came up to me and said, oh, you know, at the end of the day, and said, could we do some more sounds practice? I really enjoy it. Like, he wasn't asking for special time. It was like he wanted to do the sounds practice. He wanted his speaking to be clear. And he made really good progress, and the speech pathologist was very impressed. And I think what happened was that the special time sandwich somehow helped him take ownership of the speech practice. The connection helped him feel powerful and helped him do something that was tricky to do, and it helped him sort of take charge of the therapy as well. So special time is incredibly powerful. And just to wrap up, what I wanted to do is to share with you things that other people have said about special time. So Patty Whitfler, who is the founder of Hand in Hand Parenting, says, giving your child special time is an active form of listening in which your child's play becomes her vehicle for telling you about her life and perception. And Dr. Laura Markham, who's a clinical psychologist at AHA Parenting, she sums it up nicely. She says, what's so special about special time? It transforms our relationship with our child. And since that relationship is 90% of our parenting, you can't get more special than that.
Beautiful. Thanks, Rachel. Beautiful. And I really love your share about your son. And I'm going to try that special time sandwich out. That sounds like a really good way to work with those things that our children are not so keen on doing. Such a great idea. Well done for coming up with that. Brilliant.
Thanks.
So we've covered a lot today. And in a minute, we're going to open this up for questions. And if you have a question or a comment, you can press *2. But we also have a couple of questions that people have already sent in. So we are going to briefly answer those when we start. But also, while you're thinking about questions you may like to ask, I also want to take a moment to tell you about the classes we have coming up. So if you want to learn these skills more deeply, we offer an instructor-led 6-week-long class called the Parenting by Connection Starter Class. And this is basically our signature class. The class receives great reviews, and it is the best way to learn about our approach. And our classes are also small, and you will receive personalized attention. So I have an online starter class coming up, beginning on the Thursday, the 5th of May, 8 p.m. UK time. And for this, you know, if you're in the good time zone, you can participate from anywhere in the world for this one. And then I also have some in-person stuff coming up, happening in Bristol and Stroud. So if you want to know any more about any of that, you can either check out my Facebook page, which is Stephanie Parker, Hand in Hand Parenting in the UK, or you can email me at cornishsteph@hotmail.com. And I think Rachel also has a starter class running locally. Rachel, do you want to say about that?
Yeah, thanks, Steph. Yep, I've got a starter class starting on Sunday, the 15th of May, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And that's in the Bega Valley, New South Wales, at Tartra Preschool. And later in the year, I'll be doing some online classes too. So if you're interested in either the local class or an online class, please contact me at rachel@handinhandparenting.org for more information. And you can also get the information on my Facebook page, which is Connected Parents.
Great.
Thanks, Beth.
Brilliant. So, Rachel, do you want to share those questions that have already been sent in and we can answer those?
Yeah, I will do. Yeah, let's do that. So, okay, so the first question is, I want to submit a question about special time helping with off-limit activities. The two big rules in my house are very minimal screen time and minimal sugar in my kids' diet. I wonder how I can use special time to help these two and with these two issues. They are cause of a lot of whining and pleading, even though our rules are very clear. My kids are 7.5 and 4 years old. Okay, so this is a great question. My immediate thoughts is there's sort of two different prongs to this. Like, one is that just taking a step back and thinking about when children are feeling connected, when they're feeling connected and when they don't have any hurt bubbling inside, they are just really easy to be with, really delightful, really easygoing, and they want to fit in with their families. They want to be part of their family, and they want to kind of, they will naturally sort of follow the guidelines and their family culture. And so when your children are kind of getting sort of tense and whiny around an ongoing issue, it's a little sign that they either have some feelings inside that they need listening to, or they need just a little top up in their sense of connection within their family. And so special time is just a great thing to start doing regularly. Like, if you're going to start doing regular special time with your child, that might actually be enough just to top up their connection tanks, and with their connection tanks filled, then the whole issue or the whining issues might peter out. The other side of it is that when you do start doing regular special time, especially with your older child, your 7.5-year-old is fairly quickly to cotton on to the idea that I can do whatever I want in special time. And it may not be long before they figure that they want to ask you for some screen time during special time, or they want to have something to eat that's full of sugar. And what you can do is you want to go with it for a few special times. So if your child asks for screen time, you enthusiastically join them in that screen time. And you watch them, and, you know, you watch with, if it's a DVD or something, you watch with them, you join with them, and you try to bring as much connection to it as possible and to be as enthusiastic as possible. You sort of nuzzle up to them, get really close, kind of try and catch their eye and get a bit of eye contact. And it may be that just one of those special times, like doing the forbidden thing, is enough, or it may be that they're like, wow, I get to do this every special time. And so you go with it, like maybe four, maybe five special times, so that your child feels really accepted and really appreciated, even though they're wanting this thing that's normally off limits. And then after the fourth or fifth special time, you say, we're gonna have special time, and I will do whatever you want, but we're not going to have screen time, or we're not going to eat sugar. I'll do anything else that you want, but we're not going to do those things. And your child may be okay with it, or they, that idea in itself may be enough to bring up feelings, and they may have a really big cry or a big upset around the fact that they're not going to be able to eat the sugar or have the screen time. And this is fine. Like, they are shedding the emotional tension that they've got hooked up around that issue. It might be when you sort of, it may be during the special time that they're having upset, and that's okay too. You just listen to them, and all is well. Like, they're clearing out the tension that they have around those issues. Steph, did you have any other thoughts to add?
It's great, Rachel, what you shared. Just to say that this is an issue that many instructors and people at Hand in Hand have worked on. So there is a lot of information as well if you go to the website and on the blog of people sharing anecdotes around this. And what I see that parents have found often is that when they've given special time, so when the child has been able to explore these things that are off limit, with the approval and the love and the attention in special time, that they've actually wanted it less. So in the beginning, maybe they'll kind of get really upset when the timer goes off at the end of special time and want more and more. But as it goes on, that decreases, and it's more easy to set limits around it, and they're more accepting of the limits. There's also a free teleseminar I found as well that you can listen to on setting limits around screen time. So I know that's not special time, but there might be some special time in that teleseminar. So if you wanted to listen to that free teleseminar, you can find that on the website as well.
Great, thanks, Steph.
And also just to say, the other thing actually just to say is that, and just to bring in another listening tool here, is listening time for parents. So, you know, if we're finding it really difficult that our children want something that we're setting limits around, and, you know, I know what that's like, you know, what that can be like. If my daughter just won't accept the limits I'm giving, that can be really frustrating for me. I need to then go to my listening time and kind of work on those feelings that it's bringing up for me, so that can really help then to be clearer, to go back and set limits with my daughter.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, thanks, Steph. That's really helpful. Okay, well, the second question we have sent in is, would the instructors be able to give advice on having special time with more than one child, please? So I'm so glad we've been asked this question, because this question is so important for anyone that has more than one child. So you're not alone, and every parent is waiting for a magic wand around this issue.
Yeah.
And really, I think there is sort of, there are two things that I'm going to give some practical ideas, but there are two things to think about first. One is that, you know, young children really, really can't wait whilst their sibling is having special time. It's like, special time is so appealing for a child that it's incredibly hard for a young child to wait whilst their siblings having special time. And so it's just sort of like the law of nature that they will come and interfere with their brother or sister's special time. So what we need to do is to expect that that's going to happen, and we also need to realize that we're so used to parenting and dealing with everything by ourselves that we don't even think to ask for help, and this is a place to ask for help. Like, we really need somebody out there to be with our children whilst we're offering special time. So basically we need a babysitter in some shape or form. And so it might be about if you have a partner, it might be about arranging to do special time when your partner's around so that the other children can be looked after by your partner. It might be about getting paid help, like maybe you've got a teenager that lives locally that can come round up after school once a week for an hour and you can get your special time done in that hour for all your children. Or maybe there's a neighbour like that you can set up some arrangement with. Or you might, what Patty Whitlow, the founder of Hand in Hand Parenting, used to do was to get another child to come in, like an older child to come in and play with one of her children while she gave special time to one child. And so the playmate was enough of a distraction that each, and then the playmate also got to have special time too, and he became very close to their family. Another thing you can do is if you know somebody else who lives near you who's interested in hand-in-hand parenting, you can set up a weekly kind of arrangement with that family where you get together for, you know, an hour or a couple of hours each week, and you take it in turns to give each of your children special time whilst the other parent plays with all the other kids. I have an arrangement that I set up with my mum. My mum lives the other side of the world, and once a week she calls, we have a Skype call, and I have two children, so she takes one of my children for 10 minutes and reads them a story, and then I do 10 minutes of special time with the other child, and so each child gets to have 10 minutes of granny time on Skype and 10 minutes of special time with me, and I really love having that accountability. Like some weeks that's the only special time we manage to get done, and it gets done because I have somebody else there, like, making sure it happens. And sometimes there may be logistical things you can do. Like, maybe you've got a younger child who still sleeps in the day, so that's when the older child gets special time. Or maybe one of the children has a lesson, and so you, that's when you decide that special time happens for the other child. They're just, maybe one child wakes early, one child goes to bed later. Like, you decide to do special time when the other, you know, you've got one child on their own. Steph, did you have more to add to that one?
I don't think so, but I love hearing all your ideas. You've been so creative. I mean, I do only have one child, and it's wonderful, you know, especially the one about your mum on Skype, you know, talking to the other one while you give special time. So that's fantastic. No, I think that's great. It's really, really useful to hear all those ideas. Thank you.
Great.
So do you want to open up the call now? I think someone that's got their hand up.
Oh, yep. Okay, hang on. I'll just unmute. Hi there. Got someone on 8183 with their hand raised.
That's me. Hello.
Hi
there.
Hello. Has anyone else joined the call?
We've got a few people on. What's your question?
Well, it's about acceptable and unacceptable behaviour. And one of the things that my son really loves in special time is he calls it stories where he defeats the bullies. And he likes me to tell stories about him kind of conquering his many numerous enemies. And I've gone with it a bit, but I feel like I'm sort of feeding his negativity about a lot of people, and I'm feeding his anxiety. And I've tried telling him a story where one of his enemies tries to bully him, and he's just really cool about it. But he thinks they're a bit boring, those stories. He wants the excitement of kind of defeat, and often quite a bit gory. And I'm not comfortable with feeding that sort of thing.
That's really interesting. So the stories he's wanting are really uncomfortable for you. That's kind of, and I would trust what he's asking for. Like, I would trust that he's just, you know, he's asking for it during special time. Like, the rest of the time, if he asks for it, it's, you know, you can kind of go, you can change it and say you don't want to do it. But I would really trust that it's doing something helpful for him during that time. And I totally, totally understand, like, the discomfort that's coming up for you. And that is a great place to set up a listening partnership with someone, like, find someone who you can swap, who you, the way that goes is that you ask someone to listen to you for 10, 20 minutes, and then you listen to them, and you don't give each other advice, but you just listen to each other, and it gives each of you space to just unpack, like, you know, why does that bother me so much? What am I afraid of? What am I afraid is going to happen if I keep telling these stories? And why am I so afraid of that? And if you've managed to sort of talk through that and maybe even find feelings that are there for you about it, you're likely going to feel more relaxed about it during special time for your son. And the other thing you could do is you could treat it as an experiment. You could say, okay, I'm going to trust this is really helpful for him. I don't really understand why. There's a lot that I'm frightened about of it. But I'll go with this for like a month, or I'll go with it for however long you feel you could go with it for. And I'll see what happens. I'll see what impact it has on him. Like, does this, you know, and give it a reasonable bit of time just so you can kind of work through it. Because you can always stop and change your mind if you feel like the experiment isn't going well. Steph, do you have thoughts to add?
How does that feel for you, Laura? Does that?
I suppose I worry that he just gets more fired up and more it kind of fires him up about the people that he's frightened of, and it doesn't help him to kind of calm down. And some of the children that are on his enemies list, I think, yeah, just keep away from them. They're not very nice. And then other people, I think it's more to do with he feels hurt and rejected, but kind of getting into a battle with them doesn't help improve the relationship. So, and I suppose I just, you know, there have been cases of, you know, murder cases where it starts off people sort of fantasizing about something and then they get themselves more and more worked up. Mm. And I'm not sure that encouraging some of these fantasies is helpful. Is, you know, that he could take it too far.
So I really hear what you're saying, and I think what we found is that with these tools, it's like if what you think is he's showing you these hurts that he's got around these people, it's like the more we can shine our love and our attention and all of that in special time, the more safety and the more connection we're going to build for them to actually offload those hurts and let go of those hurts. Whereas if we kind of resist them and not bring them in, they're kind of stuck with them.
Mm. Well, sometimes I've tried kind of talking about it that, like telling the truth, reflecting back the truth of an encounter and saying, well, you felt really frightened, didn't you? And you wanted to come home, but you were too scared to show that you were frightened, you know. So you stayed out with the scary boy and I can see his lips quivering, and he's really upset about it. And and he says, "No, I don't want that story. I want the story where I'm the all-conquering hero." And
they want to get the balance back as well. Mm. You know, if he's been feeling really disempowered and frightened, that's why I don't know. You know, if you know about another of our tool called play listening. You know, it's when we need to kind of give them back that place where they do feel they can take charge and they're confident and they're not in that place, you know, that they do feel powerful to balance out those other feelings of feeling the complete opposite. It's so important.
Mm. Okay.
But also, you know, the other thing I was just going to say is just, you know, also just really be with you and how much you can give. So it's not like you need to, I don't know how much special time you give, but for me, if it's something I'm really struggling with giving my daughter, I might just give her 5 or 10 minutes of special time, maybe even just 5 minutes of special time, because it's something I'm, you know, so at least, you know, because you want to give that time where you feel that you can really shine all your love and your attention. That might only be 5 minutes, or it might just be 10 minutes, and that's okay. It doesn't have to be. That's fine. If you feel that for 5 minutes you can really pour everything into that, you know, what your son is asking, you're finding difficult, then that's great. 5 minutes is fantastic. So don't feel that you have to do it for 20 minutes or half an hour if it's something that's really challenging for you. you know, and as Rachel said, really, you know, find a listening partner and work through those feelings with you, because we find the more that we can actually allow our children to bring all these things to us, the less likely they are for it to be out in the world.
Mm.
It's like what you resist persists. It's like if we allow it and we bring our love and our attention, then that will, you know, children are good. That's what we really strongly believe in this philosophy. Children are good, they love, and it's only the hurts that get in the way.
But they can be tactless and clumsy and socially inept and, you know, blab out their fantasy stories at the wrong moment. And
sure.
Why did I put that story into your head? Just
sure. Well, I think, well, don't give yourself a hard time. Try not to be too hard on yourself. Like that, you know, the more that we can bring it into a safety time with us, the less likely it's like, you know, the children show us that kind of behavior. You know, often people think, oh, my daughter's so well behaved when she goes there. But, you know, it's not always how she is with me, because she shows me those parts. But because I'm bringing these tools, then she's less likely to go and behave really badly when she goes to someone else's house. Or, you know, it's like because she's Does that help, Laura?
A bit, okay. I need to do more of this. You're saying I need to look into this more deeply, really.
Well, listening time is a really good place. You know, I couldn't do my parenting without listening time.
Yeah.
It's so crucial. It's like putting on our oxygen mask first and getting the support for us first, because, you know, parenting is, it can be challenging and emotional work. So we really need to set up support for ourselves.
Yeah.
When things, especially when things like this come up.
Thank you.
Okay. So I think we're almost at the end, Rachel.
Yep. Yep. Shall I? There's no more questions. So yep.
Shall I wrap up?
Let's go for it.
Yeah. So we've almost reached the end of the hour. So just to recap, so special time is an incredibly powerful tool for making sure the love in your heart lands in your child in a way that they can really feel it. So in a nutshell, all you need to do is let your child know ahead of time that you're going to have special time, that you're going to do whatever they want for 5, 10, 20 minutes, and then set the time up and follow their lead and see what happens. Just have a go and see. So we really hope you've enjoyed this teleseminar, and it's been useful to you. We have more free teleseminars coming up, so please check out our website at www.handinhandparenting.org. And we also have available other free resources, including the monthly newsletter, many articles, which are always growing, and also membership to a free Yahoo discussion group, which is also really useful for any issues you may be having with your children. You can share that on the Yahoo group, and you'll get someone from Hand in Hand Parenting plus other parents answering and supporting you and helping you with that. As we mentioned before, we offer an instructor-led six-week-long class called the Parenting by Connection Starter Class. And if you're looking for even more personalized attention or have a hard issue you're trying to resolve, we also offer one-to-one consultations with experienced instructors. So you could get those through myself or Rachel or through the Hand in Hand website. We have self-paced, self-guided classes from the Parent Rescue Series on no more hitting, setting limits and building cooperation, how to help your child with sleep. And we also have a professionals intensive course for professionals like therapists and nurses. And you can find information about these on our website, also under Work with an Expert Intensives and Retreats. So just to say, Hand in Hand is a non-profit organization that depends on your donations to provide free services like this parenting call, the many articles on our website, our free parent discussion group, and also scholarships. We offer scholarships for classes and instructor training for those who might not be able to do them without the scholarships. And it's easy to donate, and any amount helps. Just click on the donate button on the website and give what you can. Together, we can support parents all across the globe. So with that, we're going to wrap up this call now. So really, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you both very much. Thank you.
Thank you. We really hope you've enjoyed the teleseminar, and it's been wonderful to be here. Yeah, Rachel, do you want to say?
Yeah, thank you, everyone, for being on the call. We've really enjoyed having you. Bye.
Yeah, lovely. Bye. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us. Hand in Hand is here to help you get the support you need for your work as a parent. To download podcasts on additional parenting topics, go to handinhandparenting.org/store. We look forward to connecting with you again soon.